Hey, all. We're here with Tony Haslip from Belushi Speedball Facilitate. Tony, thank you. I greatly appreciate you coming to hang out with me and bullshit tonight.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. It's exciting.
For sure. Dude, not me. It's exciting for you guys. Belushi is getting so much attention right now. It's fucking, God, it's fantastic to see.
Man, it's the cumulative of lots of hard work and just, you know, constantly pushing. Vinny he's a monster when it comes to promotion, merchandising, and just leading the way. And it's good to be in a position with somebody who will get out there and take the time to do the work. Because you can participate in that, and it's a good thing. You feel good about it. You're gonna put in your best effort because you feel like they are too. So it's paying off, man. It really is.
Yeah, it's great to see. You know, it's, I'm sure as a, you know, as a musician, as much as a fan, right? It's also always great to see a band that you're a fan of, like, get a lot recognition and just see things cumulatively grow. Yeah. You know, it's
amazing. I love seeing bands that I love, you know, get to that next level, especially if it's, you know, if it's like a good Louisville band. You know, I'm proud of my scene. I love the scene. I've been going to shows since like 1998, 99, to throw it out to the old heads when Tech World was on Hurstbourne Lane by the movie theater. That's how far I go back. So I love Louisville music. I think we got something special. Right now, Louisville is firing on all cylinders. There's so many good bands.
Fuck yeah.
That are out there. Surface, Deddy, fucking, oh my God. I wish I could name them all. It's just so fucking amazing right now.
Well, I know, right? Because you start naming them and you're like, I know I'm going to leave someone out.
Yeah.
You know, like I love Ulm, you know, and I always look at them as like one of our premier bands. And then we've got Volcandra and we've got Knocked Loose. And
oh, like, dude, that new Volcandra record.
Oh, dude.
Oh my God. Dave and River and the guys, they fucking killed it.
Yeah.
The production sounds amazing. River plays with us sometimes. So, you know, it's awesome to see so many bands, you know, getting out there, getting that recognition. So Louisville's popping right now.
Hell yeah.
If you ain't stopping by Louisville, you should be.
I feel like all eyes are on Louisville right now. We have a lot going on.
Yeah.
Do you see River joined Savage Master now too?
Hell yeah, dude. I love it. I love it. I love Savage Master.
Oh, me too.
And they, oh my God. I think it was the, I don't even remember what the first time I came across them. It was probably about 7 years ago. And it was Whips and Chains.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this shit's serious. And yeah. I've been a fan ever since. So yeah, they just put out a new album not too long ago. So
yeah, they're working on a new album right now. They're recording and getting ready to hit the road, which is.
That's something. Let me ask you something, Tom. Let me put the interviewer on the spot. have you felt or have you seen like a more urgency and uptick for putting out music and recording post pandemic?
So I think it's really changed. I think the pandemic has really changed the way that music gets released. You know, before we were really looking at full albums, right? Or even EPs. And now we're seeing a lot more EPs and people really pushing out a lot more singles just to stay in front of, you know?
You know, I think it's kind of going back to the heyday of, you know, like the 70s, 80s vibe where you would get these singles and then the album comes out. But those singles hit the radio, everybody gets hyped. And I think we're doing the same thing now where, like, people are putting out, you know, singles, they're hyping the shit, you know, the album comes out. And it feels to me there's more of an urgency now to get a record out instead of sitting on it for a long time or, you know, oh, we'll get around to it when we get around to it. You know, I think everybody still has a little fear in the back of their head, like there better be a to it, you know, still here for us to get around to.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of bands that aren't putting out full albums also, right? Like they're sticking with singles and EPs. Like there was a band I was just talking to, I don't know, last week or the week before, and that was everything that they do is EP, EP, EP. And I get it, right? Like I understand that because you get a lot more product out there.
Oh, fuck, if you can afford to do it, you know, and you want to get those releases out there. To me, at the end of the day, it's all discography, you know, it's all whole. But I'm just excited, you know, there's just like this new wave of hardcore right now, and it's pushing really heavy. Thrash metal is stronger than it's ever been. You know, we're getting worldwide recognition. You know, it's not so like secular where you got like the European bands are over here, the American bands are here. You got, you know, European bands coming to America who are getting super popular over here, and you know, and vice versa. So it's, you know, there's a lot of shit going on right now.
There really is. It's, you know, as just being a fan of music, I think we're in such a fantastic time for accessibility to new bands, right? Like,
yes,
Spotify, as much as I hate that they don't pay as well as radio did to an artist, I love the fact that I can go on and I was listening to, actually the band when you hopped on, the band I was listening to is called Fire Down Below out of Belgium. God, they're so fucking fantastic. I ran into them because I was listening to a band out of Cincinnati called Blessed Black, and they just happened to roll on the Sounds Like or whatever. I was like, oh fuck, that's good.
Yeah, dude, that's one of my favorite things that come up. That's something I like, that I do enjoy about Spotify. And as much as people do rail on Spotify, it does have its pluses. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. You know, I see where they could be doing more for the artists that support their platform. But at the same time, the accessibility that you have to not just experience the band that you're seeking out, but also to find, you know, new bands. And one of the things I did probably like, shit, it might be 10 years ago at this point, I got on there and I just started, you know, I started with the basics, you know, thrash. I'm like, I'm going to go on a deep dive on thrash. I'm going to start with the basics, you know, the big four, the shit that I had kind of avoided throughout, you know, the years. And from there, I started branching off. And like, well, you know, I do enjoy like early Metallica and, you know, Megadeth and shit. I found so many other bands that, you know, were a branch from there. One of my favorite bands that I found was a branch, the band called Uncle Slam.
Okay.
And I think some of the guys in Uncle Slam either were, before Uncle Slam started, were in Suicidal Tendencies or ended up being in Suicidal Tendencies, but they have a few albums and they're fucking great. I mean, they're just as good as, you know, the big four, you know, other bands. And sometimes you don't find that shit until you go a little bit deeper into the, you know, into those artists at the bottom, you know, of the list or whatever. But, you know, we're in a new age, you know, and it's all about them Spotify listens. So you guys listen on Spotify, please.
Yeah. So the band has got, you guys have got a lot going on this year, right?
Oh yeah, man. Yeah. We are, we're having a good time. We got the album coming out in May. May 11th, we'll be at Headliners doing the big album release. It got a super stacked bill on that one. So if you haven't got tickets, get your tickets. You can still get them ahead of time.
Just got mine.
Yeah, I got mine. So I'll be there. We're also hitting up Milwaukee Metal Fest. And it is going to be a hoot and a holler. I'm so excited to go up and play with some of the most, I mean, the kind of shit that we all stand in our practice spaces and be like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if blah, 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 you know? And now it's, you know, now it's happening. So it's like, you know, we're on that Saturday. It's going to be super sweet. We're going to be playing a couple more festivals throughout the year. We're doing Muddy Roots this year. down in Cookeville, Tennessee. We did that last year, had a blast. So we're going to come back and do that. We're going to go play the, I'm going to do my best to get this because I love Bonginator. If you guys, let me tell you what, if you guys have it, Blood Diner by Bonginator is a sweet ass track that they just put out. They are hosting the Funtime Bonanza, New England Death Metal Funtime Bonanza Fest. I call it Bonginator Fest because that's it's put on in part by those guys. That's going to be a fucking banger. So it's, we got so much going on this year, dude. We're super excited. We're going to be, we're doing the Extreme Scene Festival.
Obscene Extreme.
Over in the Obscene Extreme. Yeah, over there in the Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic. So, you know, we're going international. I'm excited. I want to see how, you know, it, you can't always gauge what Americans will think about this kind of stuff. But I'm excited to see what an international audience, how they receive us. I think they're going to have same amount of fun that they do here in the States, honestly.
I think they're going to fucking love you guys just like everyone that sees you play now, you know, like.
I mean, it's, you know what, one of the things that I noticed the most, you know, we'll get to a venue and, you know, we'll load in, kind of, you know, look around. We played Morgantown, West Virginia last week with the Jasons and Sweetheart Grip at the 123 Pleasant Street, which is great. Conveniently across the street from Shiny Dome Records, which they must have known I got paid right before we left because the guy was standing outside. I'm like, "What you guys got in there?" He's like, "Nah, just punk and heavy metal and hardcore and stuff." I'm like, "Oh, so it's pretty much just my record shop." So I went down there. I mean, I spent, you know, like $300. I had a great time. It was awesome. But lost my train of thought where we're going with this.
Yeah. You were talking about playing in Morgantown.
Yeah, that was we played in West Virginia, Morgantown. We had a great time. Everything is uphill. So whenever you hear somebody like, "I had to walk uphill both ways," they're probably from Morgantown, West Virginia.
I feel the same way about Seattle, dude. Literally.
I've never been to Seattle, but boy, if it's all uphill, oh man. Sometimes, dude, I was like, "You guys have to have a killer cardio out here." Yeah. I actually interviewed the Jasons while we were out there for my podcast. So it was a lot of fun.
Hell yeah. All right, let's plug that. What's the name of your podcast?
Oh, the Savage Hooligan. I'm on multiple platforms, but I primarily hit the Spotify platform is the main one I direct people to. I got a new season I'm putting together. I got a couple more interviews that I'm working out, but we got some good ones on. We talked to Surfaced, Black Forces from Bowling Green. I got to talk to Athena, the Blood Queen of the scene. She takes care of the Thrashers and Destroyers media there. So it's been cool, man. It's something I've done. It just kind of as a side hobby, really, just like to talk to bands.
Yeah.
And get, you know, stickers and t-shirts or whatever and find new, you know, make connections with people. And now I'm starting to take a little more serious, you know, now that I have the ability to, you know, piggyback it with anything I'm doing out on the road. You know, it's nothing to be like, "Hey man, 15 minutes outside," and right, it turns into 30, 45 minutes. And it's a lot, you know, it ends up being a good experience, a lot of fun. So I love seeing all the, like, you guys out here. You guys are killing it.
Dude, it's so much fun to just sit here and like talk music with literally everyone, you know, like I love hearing some of the stories and really digging in to what influenced people, you know, like you, what made you go, "Oh, I want to play music."
Honestly, my little brother had an acoustic guitar he got for like Christmas. And I picked it up and would just start kind of messing around. I was like, "I want to learn how to play bass." So I got a bass when I was like 12. And the first three accomplished things that I did on the bass guitar that I was like, "Yeah, I can do this. This is my instrument." I learned the little solo piece from Hammer Smash Face. the little do 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 do. And I was in my bedroom, like, I am a god. Like, look at me go. Then I learned how to play Money by Pink Floyd. Oh, hi, kitty. I have tuxedo cats. They're probably in my house tearing stuff up right now.
Yeah, that's so. This is Sophia. She was a farm cat, and we got her. I think she's 10 years old, but I could be wrong.
Oh man! And then after I learned how to play Pink Floyd, Money, I learned most of like Earth AD by the Misfits. And from there on out, I was hooked. Like, I took the path of the Misfits and learned punk rock and this DIY style and the whole do-it-yourself thing. And I never took lessons or nothing. So, you know, some people, they throw some guitar terminology shit my way, and I'm like, that's cool, but, you know, I can play. I can do that for you.
Just hand it to me. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, we'll have a good time. And from there, it's just been, you know, watching my peers and learning from them, you know, learning from the different bands I've been in over the years. You know, I've had the pleasure to play with some really awesome, you know, musicians here in Louisville and get to see some cool shows with people. And, you know, here I am 39, still doing the damn thing. And having just as much fun today as I ever have.
Hell yeah. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah. Honestly.
So Belushi's crossover, what's facilitate?
You know, that's a good question. That's a good question. The singer Vern approached me one day and she was like, I want to start a band. I was like, all right, you got a drummer? She goes, yes, I do. I was like, okay, that's usually the precursor for bands in Louisville. You got a drummer that's not currently attached to six other bands? And it was this guy named James, and he was not attached to any other bands. He'd never been in a band before. And he has a jazz drumming background. So I fed him a bunch of hardcore for like weeks. I'm like, here, study this. Listen to this stuff and digest. And every week we get together, he would did a little bit more, a little bit more. And honestly, it's morphed into this, like, if Sludge and Doom could be beat down too, like, you know all what right. I'm saying? Like, it's hard. It's, you know, like, it's Sludge, Doom, hardcore with a beat down mentality, you know? So it's heavy. That's for sure.
Hell yeah.
But it's definitely heavy. We do find ourselves at times being like, you know, did you listen to Weed Eater this week? Like, was that where this is coming from? Like, so it's definitely got those kind of vibes to it, that Weed Eater, like, heavy, but it also has that, like, Kubla Khan, like, you know, breakdown. And, like, you know, but we're playing June 8th at the Spinelli's downtown with Triangle Fire from Athens, Georgia. They are super fucking cool. Black Forces, Father's Gun. There's one more. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But we'll have flyers out soon for that show, facilitate. Right now, it's our first one. And then we'll be recording here soon. We hit up our good friend Cadillac over in Shitfire to do a little recording. We're gonna try and get four or five songs together for it and have it out by the summer, you know, and add to the ever growing presence of Louisville hardcore as it stands today.
So my daughter went to go see she went with her boyfriend and boyfriend's brother to see Shitfire. And I was probably 6 or 7 months ago. She's like, I'm going to see Shitfire. I was like, I think you've already seen him. And she's like, really? I've already seen Shitfire? I said, I think so. And about a month ago, I realized that it wasn't Shitfire she saw. She saw Shit Life. Well, Shit Life is a Michigan-based band. And they were playing a show with Battle Cross. We went up for Battle Cross.
Nice.
And Like, so she saw Shit Life. And the only reason I remember that is because Facebook took their page down because it said Shit Life or something.
Oh my God. That's the hardest part sometimes, is playing within the boundaries of the terms and conditions we've agreed to and being okay with it. Yeah. You know, there are times we want to rail on Zuck and the whole platform, but at the same time, you know, we all use it and need it. So it becomes a double-edged sword. And, you know, I guess when we get upset, we can put our 2 cents in. And if our 2 cents is a little shinier than somebody else's, we might get the suspension for a while or whatever, but
yeah, that's,
you know,
that's the truth. But that, you know, again, it's like one of those necessary evils, you know, as much as we don't.
Let me ask you a question, Tom, because I got my kids are going to shows now.
Okay.
You know, my son's 16, my daughter's 17. You know, they have bands that they like in the scene now. Like, how does that feel for you as a parent, seeing your kids kind of follow, you know?
Oh, I fucking love it, dude.
You know, it's like they're following the path. We didn't have to really, like, do a whole lot, but just be there with it, you know?
Right. Well, and that's, like my kids, as soon as they were old enough where my wife was comfortable enough them going to shows, I fucking put ear protection on them and take them to shows. You know, we were going to see Battlecross and Max and Igor. My daughter, that was her first metal show, was Max and Igor doing Return to Roots.
Oh, wow. What a great show.
Yeah.
Great show. I think my son's first heavy show was probably, it was Slipknot, and they were in Cincinnati at the, I think it's the Jay Bratty Music Center. It may have been one of the bigger spots down there, but it was them. It was their Knot Fest tour when they had Cypress Hill open up for them. They were supposed to have Ice Nine, I think, or somebody. Somebody had to cancel the opening band, canceled because they had COVID. So DJ Lord came out, did a DJ set. Then Cypress Hill came out, and Be Real had this huge fucking cone. And at one point, like, he was hitting it, I guess, and the cherry fell out, and it was just roasting on the carpet on the stage. And I'm just like, man, is somebody going to step on that? Like, that's going to burn a hole in something. Where are we going? And then Slipknot came out, and man, it was my first time seeing him. Danny was floored. The second time we got to see him was at Louder Than Life, and he jumped right in the middle. His first real pit was Gwar.
Oh, right on.
Like, his first big-time pit, we saw Gwar, and he was just blown away. And Slipknot, I mean, he ran right into the middle of it, like nobody's business.
Yeah.
So it's like proud parent moments. We've you know, put something good out there, and they picked it up.
For sure. And that's, you know, I told my wife this last year at Louder Than Life. Of course, we got tickets, and my daughter and her boyfriend are like, okay, we're going to go hang out. And I was like, she said, my wife asked me, are you nervous? I said, nervous about what? She goes, about, you know, Bailey running off. I said, why? Like, we've literally raised her in this environment. If something happens, she knows exactly what to do. Yep. And the reality is she's going to go and have a good time, and we don't have to worry about it. Like, what's she off doing? She's not off getting all fucked up, doing all this crazy shit. She's going to watch bands. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and I personally, from a service industry standpoint, you know, Louder Than Life coming through is great for the food trucks to get to go up there. I was a food trucker for a long time. And from a getting to see bands standpoint as a fan, you know, it's nice that Louisville got such a huge festival, you know, to come out here consistently. And, you know, and Bourbon and Beyond's great too. You know, if they pull in some incredible acts, but the Louder Than Life, like this year, you know, I'm excited that Saturday, Sunday riff is looking hot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Body Count's coming. You know, you're going to have Korn and Judas Priest on the same day.
Dude.
Like, you know what I mean?
That Woo! Hemorrhage is going to be
oh
there Saturday morning.
Yes. I'm so excited about, like, they played FTA last year. They brought the bus.
Yeah.
And those guys were so fucking nice. So, and I love what they're doing.
Oh, me
I
too.
Love it. Like, getting out there, just being like, here we are, whether you like it or not. You know, you could walk away or you can come slam in the street with us. You know, we're going to go until the cops shut us down. And the amount of time they've had to encounter the police is astounding.
Well, and talking to, when I was talking to John, he said, you know, surprisingly enough, the cops kind of let them finish and do their thing. They don't like try to shut them down usually, you know, sometimes they try to shut them down, but it's like, fuck yeah, dude. They're like, we're the band after the band, the last band plays, you know, people come out fucking.
And I mean, but they're pulling people in who might not otherwise give them the time of day any other way.
Well,
that's
it's
what I love about it.
Like, look at it. When we were coming up, what did bands do? They were out there handing out tapes and CDs and, you know,
oh
hey,
my
listen
God,
to my
yeah.
band. And now no one fucking does that anymore. Like, this
it,
is.
You know, they don't. I think we should bring that shit back. Like,
100%.
I encounter sometimes where bands will come about and if you ask them, like, hey, man, you guys got any media? Like, what you got? That's usually the first thing I'll ask. I'm a merch junkie. 110%, like hand over heart. I will spend my last dollar on merch for a band, because to me it's more important to support what they've got going on if I like it, you know, than, you know, hold on to them dollars. And for them, I don't know if it's out of town band, that might be their gas money. You know, that could be their cheeseburger money, you know, beer money or something. You know, so if I drop $80 at their table buying t-shirts and stickers and shit, you know, fucking A. You know, all the more power.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a,
so it's
it's always been like that for me too, right? If I'm going to see a band, I try to buy something from all of the bands on that.
Yes.
You know, on that ticket.
And bands, give out them stickers, cuz I promise you, we're putting them on the backs of our cars, we're sticking them up, you know, in our garage. I got a back door in my garage, you know, covered in stickers from places I've been, you know, on the road and different bands I've encountered. So keep giving out them stickers. We're sticking them on everything.
Hell
And
yeah.
People are seeing them. I love going out somewhere and be like, oh shit, I know that band.
Yeah.
While I'm taking a piss in the bathroom or whatever, loading in the back of some, you know, somebody's club.
I literally, every time I go to a club, I'm like, I'm looking at the walls, like, what bands do I know or what bands don't I know that I can make note and
Dude,
go
get you
check
some
out?
stickers, man. Let's get you some stickers, dude. Start putting them up out there.
Oh,
I'd love to see it now. The band, you know, podcast stickers sticking
yeah.
up. It's a new way of media. It's just as important as people's albums and shit. You know, I listen to music all day long at my job, and half the day it's either music, you know, or a podcast.
Yeah.
So that shit's.
Your day job, you're a chef, right?
I was for a long time. Or just in the last like year or so, took a desk job, which it ain't bad, you know, put on a few pounds. But other than that, like, honestly, it's allowed me to go do the shit that I go do with Belushi Speedball and, you know, have paid time off to do it. And I'm a normal human being. I work Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. You know, I'm off on the weekends. So, you know, I can have band practice every Sunday now. And it ain't, you know, how it used to be in the kitchens where it's like, I'm tentatively off, you know, on Sunday, as long as nobody calls in.
Right. I'll be there as long as I don't have to be to work. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. I hated doing that shit, but, you know, now it's good. You know, and what are you, a realtor? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Man, dude, that's got to be a fun, exciting trip at times.
Oh, dude. Sometimes it's a lot of fun. Sometimes it's like, it fucking makes me bald.
Man, I was looking for a house and we saw some real doozies. And I could tell that the realtor who was showing the house was like, I didn't look at this before I came in here. Like, you know, just had to kind of pop in and do it. And it's like, wow, dude, there's some murder houses out there.
Oh,
you
for
walk
sure.
through. It's like they got some personality to them.
Yeah.
So,
I know
but,
there's times I've been in houses where I'm like, I don't know that we want to like really hang out here too long. I actually, I walked into a, a house, and there were some squatters in there, or had been some squatters in there. One of the squatters was, we found him in the tub dead.
Oh God. I can only imagine, Thursday morning, like, here's this house that you probably shouldn't buy, but I'm going to try and show it anyway and see what happens.
Well,
dead squatter.
Yeah. Yeah. And he still had the needle in his arm. It was like, oh shit.
Oh man, dude, you know what though? I'm not gonna lie. All the work we do, they should stop saying that we peak in our late 20s. Really, it's our late 30s. We get to our late 30s, and it's like most people have either, that's when I made the change. I got to my late 30s. I was like, look, I'm going to do, something more than just die in the kitchen one day.
Yeah.
So now's the time to make that change. I feel like, when people are working, they get to this like late 30s, early 40s piece, and they're like, you know what? I worked real hard. Now I want to start doing a hobby thing for real. I want to start doing a podcast, or I want to start doing art more, or I want to start a band, or, I want to start playing music again. I see a lot of my friends, who took their 30s off. They're like, I just went out, bought a guitar, and started playing again. I'm like, good. Go start a band. Go chug some riffs. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's, about that time is when people realize that, we have a finite amount of time. It's like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Well, shit, I could work my ass to death and just work and pay my bills, or I could, work and have some fun and pay my bills.
Oh shit, yeah. It just becomes that, that time of how do I want to spend, the other side of the hill? Is it gonna be a downslide where I'm like, oh, or am I gonna take my time getting to the bottom? I'm going to take my time getting to the bottom and then enjoy my way, where I'm at now.
Yeah. So what are some of the bands that you're really digging into right now that you can't get enough of?
Oh man. So Brat, I cannot say enough good things about Brat, out of New Orleans. They just put out a new album, Social Grace. The production, okay, and this is one thing I feel like sometimes bands who are heavy, who are down-tuned, struggle with, is getting good production on those low ends. Because sometimes, dude, the low end just takes over everything, and it just sucks everything up, and it's all low end.
Yep.
It's hard to hear shit. But that new album they put out is great. Spaced from Buffalo just put out a new album. It is fucking killer. They put out a couple of singles beforehand, so I'm really hard into them. That Bonginator single I was telling you all about, Blood Diner, that shit's good. Dude, I love Bonginator. Those guys are just on another level. I like what they're doing DIY style. I like how Eric reaches out through TikTok and stuff and kind of does similar to what Bacon Bits does. And like kind of sharing that knowledge with bands, so I appreciate that. If you're going to do that, and I like what you're putting out as far as music goes.
Oh, yeah.
So those are three bands that have been heavy rotation. Of course, Dio is always in my rotation.
Oh, yeah.
So I listen a lot of fucking Dio lately.
Okay.
But yeah, if you guys have not, do that. Social Grace by Brat is my new favorite album right now. And that shit, it's a banger. Ego
now that,
Death, the first track on there is my favorite.
That's one you picked up when you were in West Virginia, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I picked up. Well, actually, no. In West Virginia, I got Brat from, believe it or not, they sold out through their shit. I slept on it or blinked or something. I don't know what happened, but I couldn't get it. And I hit their Instagram up, and I'm like, oh, my God, please tell me where I can get this fucking album. They're like, just go on Amazon. It's on there. I was like, all right. I got a Squalor Grinds Memory Theater out of West Virginia, and the Bonginator, hang on, let me grab it. It's right here on top of my tape stack. It's got a funny name, the 1986 Doink City Massacre EP. I picked that up out in the wild from Shiny Dome Records over on Pleasant Street. So if you guys are out there touring and you go to play one 123 Pleasant Street. That place was super awesome. They have like three different areas that you could play as a band. They have like a big main hall, and then on either side of the bars, the two bars they have on either side of the hall have little stages that you could probably cool. play in. I know Hank the Third plays there a lot, apparently. His flyers and ticket stubs are all over the place. But that record store across the street, oh man, talk about some finds.
Fuck yeah.
I'm a record store geek. I collect vinyl. I'm in Vic's record den. The Vic Hilrich, he's a big time dude, My Own Victim, Bat Wizard, the leader of the den, if you will.
The leader of the den. Yeah. He posts some shit in there and I'm like, what in the fuck is that? I gotta check that out.
Man, I'm telling you, he posts some ticket stubs sometimes, and I'm just like, oh my God. Like, he's seen some tours.
Yeah.
Like, just living close to the fairgrounds and stuff growing up, you know, me and him were talking about it, and I'm just like, oh my God. This just blows me away. I love it. He's deep knowledge.
Oh, he is, dude. He's got a lot of fucking knowledge. I've been trying to get him to come on and have a chat.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. If you can, definitely. Let me ask you, Tom, what are you listening to right now?
Right now, I got to think. Listening to a lot of Temple of the Fuzzwitch. They've got a new song out, Cursed. Fuck, ooh, it's good. It's really fucking good. Of course, Fire Down Below and Blessed Black, like, and Spotlights. Those three are like daily rotation.
Nice. I like that. I'm gonna check out that Fire Down Below.
I like that.
See, I love, that's what you talk about, you know, new, like, I love hearing new music from people, especially when it's an in-person, you know, recommendation, because you can actually see the emotion that particular band brings out of that person. So I'm gonna check them out.
Hell yeah. That's why I like having these conversations. It's always like, what are you listening to?
Oh God.
It's,
you know, it's like, for like right now, there's so much going on. Sometimes it's hard to pinpoint, you know, everything in a day. You know, Kublai Khan just put out that new single, Low Tech. You know, that shit's slamming. You know, Deddy just put out a new single. I'm a big on Deddy. They're a Louisville band.
So they've got they're on a show coming up, I think.
I think they're playing Magbar in a couple weekends.
Yeah, I just saw a flyer, and who is it? Tyler? Is Tyler playing bass for them?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know.
So I feel like he is. I met him at Costco one day, and we were talking because I had a Gojira hoodie on. He's like, I like that. And I'm like, oh, thanks, dude. Like,
no, they're so full of energy. It is one of the funnest live shows you'll see, because it's just, I mean, it just goes from start to finish. I love that in a band that can do 20 solid minutes with barely slowing down, you know, that Ramones ethic of just blasting through your stuff and just leaving everybody just completely like, you know, dumbfounded.
You know, that's one of the reasons that we like Foo Fighters is that's what their live shows are like. I think the last time we saw them, there were 3 hours, 2 hours, 45 minutes or something. And it was the whole fucking time.
God, could you imagine doing that like every night for like 100 nights?
Dude.
Like almost 3 hours of, I mean, even if you love music, like the energy and intensity and the turnover that you have to present to a new audience every night, like, whew, yeah. I can, like, it's like sometimes like doing speedball shows when we do like a bunch, you know, if we're on tour on the road, doing a bunch in a row, like, you have to find a part of your day beforehand to pull it all back in and then represent it to a whole new audience, you know. And one of the things that I love presenting to the people is giving them 30 minutes to act like complete idiots if they want to. You get to throw trash and run around, and nobody's judging you. Nobody cares. You know, everybody's, if you're not doing that, they might be judging you, if anything, you know. And that ability, that's where I find the magic sometimes with speedball, is that people get that ability to just let loose, literally. And that's what we all go to shows for, and to a degree anyway, is to let loose, you know, get in the pit, you know, and bang your head or, you know, whatever.
Well, that's it. You want to forget about the outside world. And that's, you know, one of the things that always drew me to live music was there's no race, there's no religion, there's no anything. We're just all there for the reason to see the fucking band. That's it.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, that's, and one of the things that I thoroughly love about music, just any kind of music that you love, is that we take this ownership of it. Even though, you know, even though the Misfits are a worldwide band, you know, that, you know, Jerry Only has taken them all over the fucking place. To me, when they come on, if I see them, you know, or I see a band, you know, doing them, or when I, you know, even when I warm up, I when I warm up to practice at home, I do 30 minutes of Misfit songs to warm up every day. You know, I don't know if other musicians do that kind of shit or not, but I'll do 30 minutes of Misfit. So if anybody wants to do Misfit tribute band, I got at least 30 minutes worth in me at any given time. But they're, you know, they're my Misfits.
Yeah.
You know, that's my band. That's the band that got me through, that got me into, you know. And when you see like millions of people take that same ownership, you know, you look at, you know, like I said, when they talk about battle vests and the patches and stuff, you know, those are like your, you know, your Gojira hoodie. It's just it's an advertisement or a flag of saying, you know, here's what I'm into. If you're into it, we could probably talk.
Yeah.
You know, you could probably approach me and we'll be cool.
That's,
you know,
it's like that old meme, you know, what does one metalhead do when he sees the other, you know, metalhead in the wild? He's like, holy fuck, all right, someone I can talk to.
Yeah, like, you like Demolition Hammer, so do I. Yeah. Like, you know,
yeah,
it's you know, music is just that thing that we get to take ownership of something, even though it's not technically ours. We mold it for us, and that's, you know, it's ours to our, you know, for ourselves. But it's just a beautiful thing that brings everybody closer together with their own idea of the same song. You know, you can present one song to 1,000 different people and you're going to get 3,000 different reactions,
for
you know,
sure,
kind of thing. But they could all stand there in a circle and be like, oh, dude, but that part and then this thing, we did that, you know, like,
yeah,
and be cool about it and not be assholes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's great that everyone is able to have their own taste and their own interpretation where there's no, you know, fuck you, man, you're wrong for that. Like, eh, who gives a shit? We're all digging this thing together.
Yeah. Heavy metal might look scary, but it is one of the most open arm communities you will ever encounter.
100%.
Like, hands down. So ditch the pop music and get into heavy metal, kids.
Yeah. Yes. That was, so Bailey's first show was, who is that? Oh, Justin Bieber.
Oh yeah. The Beeb.
The Beeb.
Well, now I mean, it's
now she's embarrassed as shit about it, but I'm like, mine was Michael Jackson. Like, who fucking cares?
Yeah. I honestly, I think my very first live concert experience was Garth Brooks.
Okay.
My mom took me to see Garth Brooks. My first actual live, like, heavy, like, music concert experience was probably Korn and Rob Zombie opened for them. Might have been the Follow the Leader tour.
Okay.
Maybe. But Rob Zombie opened for them and blew them off the stage. Like, Rob Zombie was 10 times better than Korn was. Like, he had fucking robots and monsters and like all kinds of crazy shit. Korn didn't have nothing but a bunch of girls in a cage, like dancing suggestively in the background. Like can't follow the, like, can't follow that.
Right. Yeah. Know? My first heavy show was, Ozzy, Faster Pussycat, and Ugly Kid Joe.
Ooh, wait.
Yeah.
Man, that would have been a good Ozzy show, I bet.
That was. It was really good. And some kid I went to high school with, or high school, maybe we were middle school. His dad had like free tickets, so we were seventh row for it. And I was like, man, this is cool. And I think you kind of sat there like, yeah, this is neat, I guess. And I'm like fucking nerding out. Oh my God, you know.
Like, this is where it is. Now, Tom, what is your favorite show you've ever been to?
I will never be able to say that there's one. I've got a lot of different shows for different reasons. Like, the last time I saw Black Sabbath play, is it definitely ranks up there. I say they're always top three, or that show is top three, because the band was so tight. Ozzy sounded better than he had ever sounded anytime I'd seen him. So that, then Iron Maiden is another one. And that Iron Maiden show was because I got to experience it with my little brother, who's, you know, not with us anymore. And, I always like the Foo Fighters because it's something that my whole family gets to go and enjoy together.
Oh God, Dave Grohl, he's the master of show. That dude, we'll talk about stamina.
Oh dude.
I watched their Louder Than Life set. It was last year. And just, I mean, he just goes and goes and goes. Yeah. I'm going to put this out there because I want, you know, we just kind of worked like the day after the day that Dave Brocky passed away. But one of my all-time favorite shows was with my bestest friend in the world, Adam Fish. And we drove to Washington, D.C. and caught Gwar on a one-off show at the 930 Club. After it was a one-off show after the Violence Has Arrived tour. And so it was like Todd Evans on bass and was it Corey? It might have been Corey Smoot on as Flatus for the show. And it was amazing. I don't even remember if there was an opener or not. The show was amazing. We got to talk to Dave Brocky afterwards. It was my first time like meeting like a hero, like somebody I looked up to as a musician.
Yeah.
And then being so like humble and being like a regular person. And it was just like, oh shit, Otis Arungus is a regular person like me.
Yeah.
You know, except he's, you know, smoking all my pot and, you know, making some very lewd jokes, but you know, it's like, it was cool. It was cool. Like, he made a lasting impression on an 18-year-old kid, you know, that, you know, heavy metal is the way to go. And it's not what everybody, you know, downplays it to be, or it's not the, you know, the evil,
right?
You know, it's fucking, it's a beautiful, welcoming thing once you get past all like the upside down crosses and pentagrams.
Yeah. That's just for shock value.
Yeah.
So I took last year for my birthday, I took a good friend of mine. We flew out to LA to go see Mr. Bungle, the Melvins, and Spotlights play at the Palladium.
Ooh, nice.
Dude, this is one of my favorite shows also. This buddy of mine honestly doesn't go to a lot of shows. Like, he's probably been to a handful his whole life. So I'm like, hey, you want to go? He said, yeah. So we fly out there, and Spotlights is, they are top as one of my favorite bands, because they're just,
you know, I think they opened for Blue Sheep's People at Kaiju.
They did.
Like a couple of years ago, like
no,
two,
it was
three
this
years
year.
Ago.
It was in June of last year. It was June 17th,
yeah.
As a matter of fact.
Yes. Yeah, because we found out they were on Mike Patton's label. We're like, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, actually, Mr. Bungle is playing Milwaukee Metal Fest.
Yep.
That Saturday. So we're hopefully going to not get in trouble for pestering the shit out of Mike Patton, but we'll see.
We'll see.
I'm like, hey, I know this podcast you should hit up. This guy, Tom, he has a really good one.
That's funny. I'm like, I hit up Dave Lombardo, like, hey, dude, you want to be on my podcast? Crickets. Like, all right,
oh,
whatever.
Dude, if I see Dave, I'll be like, hey. And now the band was asking you about that podcast. Are we still crickets on that, or are we going to go?
So So we're out at the fucking Palladium and spotlights to see them, right? They take the stage, they play their set, and I was enthralled. They get off stage and I'm like, God, that was fucking good. So while they were on stage, like the whole place just filled up. So we go, where do we go? I guess we went upstairs and here comes spotlights. And of course I see them and they all come up and give me a hug. And my buddy's like, they give you a hug like you know them. I'm like, dude, I've probably seen them like 40 times. I think they know me at this point.
Yeah. Like I do know them, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. And then when I'm a big Melvins fan. So I, of course, watch the Melvins.
Oh, love seeing, great.
Dude, love seeing them fucking play every time. Mr. Bungle gets up, crushes it, and we leave the venue. And he looks at me. And again, you know, I tell you, this guy's probably only been to a handful of shows. He's like, dude, I am a fucking fan of them now. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude. Sometimes, dude, seeing the band in their rawest element live, like, there have been so many times I've seen a band live and been like, oh, yeah, I'm a fan now.
Yeah.
Like, I can get into that. I think that's how it happens. I mean, if you go from an organic... in an organic way, and you go to local shows, you're probably going to hear a local band live a bunch of times before you ever hear their album. Or that's how it used to be. Yeah. Now everything's, you know, it's on Spotify. So it's like, oh, shit, I'll just look up on Spotify, see if they got anything out. It used to be before that kind of streaming was going on, you would go see the band a bunch. And if they had CDs, you could buy one. Or if they were working on recording one, it always seemed like everybody was working on recording one at some point. So, you know. So I'm glad that, you know, we've gotten to that point now, you know, where people you can still experience a live show and be like, oh, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in.
Sadistic Creator did that.
I'm in. Yep.
Oh, you were there. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw them and I was like, yep, I'm in. Like, I'm going to go. I think, are they playing a Metal Monday coming up here?
Yeah.
In April?
I think they're playing a Metal Monday. And then there's a black metal band out of Wisconsin that's coming. Illusion of Fate. And I was talking to some of those guys and they're like, who should we hit up? And I was like, I gave them a list and Sadistic Creator was on there. And they're like, oh yeah, we've been talking to those guys. I was like, fuck yeah, dude. They're good. Like, get them on that bill.
Yep. Yep. They were awesome. Yeah. They were super awesome. Baptized was another one of those bands that I saw live and I'm like, yep, I'm in.
So like, I haven't seen them yet. Like I've,
oh man,
dude,
you want to talk about like just like heavy metal rock and roll. I don't know how else to describe it. It's heavy metal rock and roll.
Hell yeah.
You know, it's like if you could take young Lemmy and bring him, you know, to the current day and stick him in the same fucking spot. Like,
God,
that's what you're going to get. You're going to get
that's
baptized.
Fucking dope.
You know, so if you get a chance to see them play, man, I want to say they're either they just did a Metal Monday or they're getting ready to in the future. But if you get a chance to see them, I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, I feel every time they're playing something, I have something else going on. Because, I mean, you know how it is. My fucking schedule's booked out for months. And I'm like, I got to fucking make something happen.
Man, there are times where I see a show, like a show flyer, and I'm like, yeah, I'm out of town that weekend. Never mind.
Yep. Yeah, me too. I'm like, you motherfucker, there's, I'm like, shit, there's like four shows on 419. And I'm like, I can't go to all fucking four of them.
Yeah.
I sure as fuck want to.
Like I love that's a problem right now in Louisville is that we have too many good shows.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we have two, you know, and it's just like, yeah, dude, shit's happening if there's too many good shows. There was some times where there haven't been enough shows.
Right.
So, you know, we're in that era again of, you know, now we have too many shows.
Dude, we went to, I went up to Indianapolis a couple weeks ago to Death in the Midwest. And I was,
oh, how was that?
Dude, I was super excited to see Redivider because that's another band that I've been wanting to fucking see. And every time
now, they're a Louisville band, aren't they?
They are, yep. So every time they play, I got something else going on. Well, So I get there and I'm like, fuck yeah, this is great. There's like 8 or 10 bands on the bill and all the bands are playing. And Yotuma's on stage and someone hit a telephone pole across the fucking street.
I heard about that.
We didn't know that's what it was at the time because power went out and then it came back on a couple minutes later. And we were like, okay, went back to the thing. And One Body, Six Graves came on and played 2 or 3 songs and the fucking power was done. Redivider was next. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Like, son of a bitch. But tis the way of the beast when somebody runs into a fucking telephone pole.
For sure.
Fucking cancels the rock and roll for that night.
Yeah.
But, Redivider is a band that is another band that I've been wanting to see. So I'm on that same train with you. They're on the list this year.
Hell yeah.
We got a lot of dates out of town. So hopefully, between that and the time that I am here, I try to catch as much as possible.
Yeah, me too. Are you going to the Restless Spirit show Saturday?
What is going on Saturday? Oh, maybe. I don't think I have anything pressing on Saturday, to my knowledge, at the moment. So, where's it at?
Portal.
Ah, good old Portal.
Good old Portal. It's Restless Spirit, Temple of the Fuzzwitch, Crop, and Fairy Ring.
Nice. Nice. Let's get lifted.
Yeah.
Go watch us some Crop. Hell yeah. Well, that might be my Saturday plans right there then. I've been thinking about it. Something to do for Saturday.
That'll be a good fucking show.
Oh, hell yeah.
So what are you looking most forward to this year for Belushi?
I think this year is going to be a huge year for us in terms of people getting an opportunity to see us play and get to experience, the party, I was talking about before that 20, 30 minutes to just let all the inhibitions down and just get buck wild a little bit. We do ask that, keep your pants on, but have a good time, throw some trash. And I think for us this year, with Milwaukee Metal Fest and Muddy Roots again, and then heading overseas. We got some tour time, lined up this year. So we're getting out there and we're going to try and visit as many, many people as possible. And I think it's going to be a big year for people getting to see us and, experiencing. And then on top of that, this new album, I know everybody, I'm biased, but it's a banger. It's a banger. It is a certified banger from front to back. So the new single, This Is the Peak, is out right now. Daniel Neal is a straight beast on the drums on that. And then you finally get a peek at Jameson coming in there and doing some I call them goblin vocals. But it's out right now on the platforms, Spotify. Whatever the other platforms, but Spotify's what matters the most right now. And then May 11th, headliners, we got it coming out. It's stacked bill. It is. We got our dudes, Busby Deathchair coming down from Detroit. Oh man, those guys are so cool. And it's the new album's it slays. I know I'm biased, but it slays. It just does. So when you get a chance, get you some listen time on it.
Shit, that's 2 singles, right, off that album so far?
Yeah. We did the My Favorite Color is Pizza.
Yeah.
Which I think this is where I give Vinny props. He writes these songs that sound like they're going to be generic or sound like they're going to be like, oh, it's a song about pizza. But you listen to the song, and it's actually a story about one of the most frustrating times that they had early on as a band and how it like kind of unfolded into a really good show in North Carolina. We're actually going back to the same venue in April, the Odd, or Oddity, they call it the Odd, to go play the same place they did that inspired that song. He says we're not staying in the same hotel with the moldy bed bugs, So that's good. I'm good. Excited about that part. But yeah, it's actually a really deep song from a band who also put it out on a piece of pizza. So people don't know what to think. They're like, wait, what? Like, I'm telling you, listen to the lyrics. It's a deep, deep song, a story about their, you know, their first experience out there and some frustrating times with it. And then, you know, then we put it on a slice of pizza, which Vinny loves making, by the way. I told him I'd stop telling people that he loved it, but I'm not gonna. He loves making them. So order them. Order as many as you can.
I got a buddy of mine. He's like, man, when I get back to work, I got to get me one of those. I hope they have them. And Vinny's like, yeah, we'll still have them. Like, fuck yeah.
It's a whole fucking process. But, you know, it's just another testament to his level of thinking when it comes to marketing and constantly just pushing and pushing and pushing. You know, I tell him this all the time. Speedball is a train. Either get on and go for the ride or get out of the way because it's coming, whether you like it or not.
That's the truth. Like, and it's, you know, one of the best things about Belushi is the unique merchandising. You know, that I think has garnered so much attention for the band. You know,
oh hell yeah,
Teddy Ruxpin, a N64 album, now pizza.
sometimes I'm like, how, like, where else can we go with this? And somehow he's pulls out another one, and I'm like, oh my god. So, you know, it's always exciting because it does set us apart from a lot of other people and what they do. But at the same time, it's it's fucking hilarious. I never know. You know, I throw him ideas like, hey man, what if, you know, why don't we have a sweatshirt? He's like, yeah, you're right. Let's put out this pizza single first, and then and then we'll get to the sweatshirts, you know, that kind of shit. So it's always fun. You never know what, you know, when you see a text message in the, you know, from Vinny, you never know what it's going to be about. It could be the next merch item or, you know, the next riff. So keep your peepers peeled because it's still early. You know, we're still early in the year, early in the game.
Yeah.
And we're heading straight for the top. So, get ready for some truly outrageous merchandise and antics, especially if you're going to hit these festivals this year that we're playing at. Milwaukee Metal Fest is going to be a fun one. You know, we're going to be at Muddy Roots. That's one where we really get to let loose on. It's down in Cookeville, Tennessee. Come down and see us. We'll be there. And then when we go do this Bonginator thing, Eric said we got carte blanche to do whatever we want. So if you're in the New England area and you want to see some completely off the wall, unhinged shit, go ahead and hit up the New England Death Metal Fun Time Bonanza. I'll probably never be able to do that again without fucking that up. The tickets are on sale for those. If you can't remember that, just remember Bonginator. If you find Bonginator's socials, they're promoting the shit out of it. They got tickets on sale for that. Tickets are on sale for Muddy Roots. We are not playing Full Terror Assault this year, but I recommend people get tickets for Full Terror Assault too. That is one of the best festivals you will ever fucking go to. Those guys down there, we played the last couple of years, and they let us do some of the silliest shit I've ever done in a band, period. That place just is awesome. I'll be going to that festival just on my own this year, because I don't want to miss my camping spot down there with Camp DRICP. Great group of guys. But Full Terror Assault, they got tickets on sale for that festival as well. They had their first run of lineup come out. They got some good ones already. I think I saw Cancer on there, and I want to say Axe Slasher's on there. Oh man, that's another one of those bands we were talking about earlier. The similar artists at the bottom.
Yeah,
that's how I found Axe Slasher. I was like, yeah.
Hell
so,
yeah.
You know, even though we're not playing this year, Full Terror, I recommend people get tickets if you got time to go see that festival, because they'll have a killer lineup too, and it is just an amazing little spot for sure.
They always have. I feel like they've always got a really good fucking lineup.
They'll definitely have some Louisville bands this year. I know they will.
Yeah.
Like, we have too many awesome ass fucking bands out here not to have some of them in there.
Who do you Who do you think is going to be on that bill from Louisville?
I would love to see Stonecutters on there. I know Brian said he'd put the hat in the race for that one.
Yep.
If you guys have not heard, I know Stonecutters album's been out for a minute, but whoa, that's a banger.
Yeah,
that's a good one. The split seven inch they did with Bat Wizard 2. I love Bat Wizard. I could talk about Bat Wizard forever.
Shit.
I can make a whole other episode about just talking about Bat Wizard.
You know, that's what I mean though. Like, we have some fantastic fucking bands right here. Yeah, like,
like I said, I want to see Stonecutters. I'd love to see She up there. Talk about some fucking Doom.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Ohm go up there and they would fucking slay. A nighttime sesh, fucking stoned out of your mind, maybe rolling on some shrooms or something with some Ohm. Oh my God, dude. Out in the middle of the woods. Oh, dude, that'd be great. That'd be an awesome set right there. So hopefully, some of these bands put their name in the ring and they get in there. But I know we'll see some local bands out there for Full Terror for sure.
Maybe we just need to do something here with all of these great fucking Louisville bands.
You know, man, I would not be opposed to something like that. If we pulled together like a sweet ass, you know, they started doing the Porecastle thing whenever Forecastle was big.
Mm-hmm.
So I know some people kicked around doing Louder Than Life stuff. It'd be cool if they would do some like the weekend before Louder Than Life or the weekend after or something, you know, do a little thing, maybe like, you know, like a Magbar. Well, I guess Magbar Fest in July is kind of pulls in a lot of those bands like that. So
yeah,
you got a little bit of love that way, but I'd like to see more Louisville metal, Louisville metal.
There's a band out of Cincinnati that I went to go see Shiner and Spotlights in Cincinnati, and they, you said the Magbar Fest, they played that year before last, I think. They're called Knife the Symphony.
Ooh, I've seen that name.
They're fucking good. I was jamming out to them all morning today.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Today it started out, I don't know why, but sometimes I just wake up with certain songs in my head, but today it started out with the Go-Go's.
Okay.
And then I like to just, when I pull on records, I'll just randomly flip through my, you know, collection of my fingers and just snag one. First one I snagged off the rack was Exodus, Pleasures of the Flesh.
Mm.
So it was fucking, that was a very juxtaposition move. Between the Go-Go's and then Exodus.
Hell yeah. So fucking like polar opposites. Like, you,
dude, yeah. I mean, I like a lot of music. Last night I went to Magbar. I caught this band here, Pumpkin Guts. They did an acoustic set. They're from Pikeville, Kentucky. They're like a horror punk band. They were cool. The Response played. Some of the local legendary there with Donnie Vagrant and Sean Magnum and Trey. So it was cool. They brought down a band from Milwaukee. Can't remember who they were for the life of me, but they were the soundtrack when I talked to Rick Gideons from 5011 Media for my little podcast interview that I did last night. So it worked out well.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, man, dude, things are hopping. I'm loving everything people are doing.
Me too, dude.
More podcasts, the merrier. More shows, the merrier. Let's go.
Let's just keep this shit a rolling.
Yes. Yes. I want my kids as kids to be complaining about having too many shows to go to.
Yeah, me fucking too.
All right. We can complain about how our back hurts and stand in the back.
I know. I'm sitting here like, ah, my fucking back hurts now. I'm not even standing. What the hell?
Oh, God. People are like, why are you still getting the pit? It's like, because if I don't, my legs will fall asleep standing here.
I got to keep moving. So when I was 39, I got in a pit and blew out my shoulder. I had to go have fucking rotator cuff surgery.
Woo! Man, I know sooner or later, something's going to get me. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, some pit incident or something else, but something's going to get me. It's going to be, I don't know what, it'll probably be in the Probably blow out a knee, but I hope it. Hopefully, it's in the pit. I like to go down, you know, in a blaze of glory.
Go down swinging.
Yeah, exactly.
I was at a show. They're like, get in the pit. I'm like, nope, I'm good. I'm I don't
Yeah,
need
I
any
still get
more.
in the pit though. Like if I now, I'll say this. I don't get in quite as much as I used to, because I'm not in the best of shape. You know, I've been working on getting in better shape, but you know, things are still a little achy. You know, I'm not trying to throw my back out 2 songs into the first band, but I still save it up for, you know, for the ones that I want to hit up for. So
Oh
I still
yeah.
got a little juice left in the
There's
tank.
a little bit. We'll fucking get this shit going.
Yeah, dude.
All right, Tony, I'm gonna say thank you. I greatly appreciate you hanging
Oh.
out and bullshitting with me all night. Like, this is
Fuck yeah, dude.
a lot of
That's what it's
fun.
all about.
Hell yeah. I look forward to seeing you Saturday at Restless Spirit.
Yeah, man. I think that sounds like a good show to hit up.
Hell
I
yeah.
like that style, dude. So we'll see you out there on Saturday, and we will take and elevate ourselves to the next level for an
The
incredible.
next level.
Thanks
And
for having me on, Tom. I appreciate it.
all you guys out there, go get your tickets to see Belushi for their
Yeah,
CD release
album
show.
release,
Is
May
it
11th,
May 11th?
headliners. Come and see us. Get them tickets. It's all ages. So it's gonna be a huge crowd. It's man, it's album release. So you know we're not probably going over the top. We definitely are going over the top. So we'll see everybody then. Tom, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Hell yeah,
Now
dude.
next time I see you at a show though, I'm gonna get you on mine.
Hey, I'm
So
down. I'm
it'll be
down
if I
for it.
matter of fact, if we see each other Saturday, let's make some time, dude. Let's make that happen.
All right, you got it, man. I'm down.
All right, dude. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good night, brother.
You too.
Thanks. See ya.